Wait a second, let me open my 3DS box real quick so I can look at it.
Do you have like a sharp object or?
No, I just noticed I need one.
Don't stab yourself.
I have a sword.
That may be overkill.
Just in case you kill yourself.
Sort of like the unveiling YouTube videos, but it's unveiling over radio.
Yeah, it's an unboxing.
It doesn't quite have the same visual.
Yeah.
Punch.
If you thought unboxing videos were crazy, man, wait till you just hear the audio.
Holy crap, this thing's huge.
Yeah.
It's the exact same size as the DS.
I take my sarcasm back. Unveiling over voice is just as exciting.
The Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 235. I'm Graham, and this time I'm here with Henry, Chris, Sean, and Andrew. How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Pretty good. Good?
Yeah.
I've got games I can play now.
Yeah.
Over the last month? 2 months?
Year?
3.5 years.
No, you should rephrase. You have electronic games to play now.
This is true.
Yeah,
I'm never short for analog.
Also new electronic games to play.
Right, and soon I will have new board games to play.
Especially adaptations of pinball.
We'll get to that later, I think.
Yes. All right. But let's go ahead and start with news because there's been a lot of it.
A whole lot, a ton.
T-O-N-N-E, I believe.
Yes.
Gamescom.
Yep.
John?
News.
Yeah.
We have news.
Right. What?
Our news intro sound effect.
There's so much news, I don't know where to start out. I guess I'll start with the oldest news.
Okay.
That is that a 20-year-old system, or 10-years-old, Neo Geo X, is coming back for $200.
Yeah, I believe 21.
22 years old.
22. Depending on the...
I was looking for the release date when I was saying that, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
found
so...
it now. It would be $1,100 now, but instead it's $200. They decided to save you some money.
Sure. It's a little different, though. Earlier this year, we saw how they had released/leaked this handheld that had Neo Geo games on it and was officially licensed. So now they've announced it. They've put a price on it. You can pre-order it. And they've shown off this bundle with what looks like the old Neo Geo home system. That's the dock for the handheld that you put it in. And it has TV out and like a full arcade style controller. And yep. So it's $200 for the whole bundle. And $130 for just the handheld if you wanted that. But yeah. It's a little weird.
It's weird, but isn't that kind of awesome though?
Well, I mean, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, of course you are.
I knew that. That was a given from January.
Yeah, I hope they have a better, a good setup for getting games on it. Because there are a couple strange choices. One, of course, they only have, straight up first party SNK games right now.
Yeah.
So they don't have the two best Neo Geo games on the system.
Which are those?
Super Dodgeball.
Wait, before we start, the two best Neo Geo games.
Yep.
Forever.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
Now go.
We could do that list.
Anyway. should we not say anything then?
For another time. Well, you know what? Podcast listeners get a sneak peek. I get two of them.
Okay.
It's a free-to-play model. We'll give you two. All right. You gotta buy something on Amazon.
Yes.
Or a link, which costs you nothing. Please. Okay. So yeah, Super Dodgeball, the last game ever made by Technos, and the best version of Super Dodgeball.
I do like Super Dodgeball.
It's the best one.
All right.
Yeah, you gotta play it. It's pretty good. And Windjammers. which will never, ever, 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 ever see re-release because it's entirely unclear who owns it, and whoever does own it still has like a legal dispute with the like the Disport. Like it's weird copyright issues with it, like copying and a sport of some sort.
What is this game exactly?
You've never played Windjammers?
No.
Nope.
Have you never guys? Has anyone else played Windjammers?
Not me.
No.
This is unacceptable.
Well, tell us all about it.
Sort out that licensing rights and.
Yes.
Yeah, get on it, Graham.
Windjammers, also known as Flying Power Disc in some territories, is a game that basically takes kind of the Pong formula, but instead you're like in courts vaguely reminiscent of volleyball with nets behind you vaguely reminiscent of a soccer goal. And so you throw the disc and it can like bounce off walls and things, but you have like a couple special throws.
So it's a cross between Pong and Discs of Tron.
Kind of. But the idea is to get it in these nets behind people, which are worth different values depending on the court. And then you have like special moves that you have to pull off. There are different characters with like different levels of speed and power, and they look different depending on what region of the game you play, which is pretty funny to me. Because the Korean guy turns American in the US, but everywhere else he's Korean. And it's funny because Neo Geo games basically were released in like one international version with just a little switch in the menu.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's totally a thing people do. Like, oh hey, I like that guy, but I wish he were Korean. Done.
I say that a lot. Actually.
He plays better when he's Korean. I don't know if it's just me, but Korean guy's better. I don't know. All right.
That might be subtly racist, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Okay, let's just move on.
Okay. It was certainly not my intent.
I know. I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's weird because anyway, the sprite doesn't change. It's the name of them, and the flag, but yeah. So that game is basically one of the best games ever. Not the best ever. Not my favorite, but pretty close.
But we'll never get to play it unless we track down a copy of the original.
Yeah, but the thing is, when it came out originally, it was one of the more common Neo Geo arcade games. So if you see a Neo Geo, I mean, unless it's one of those places where all they have are fighting games, it may have Windjammers.
Okay.
But yeah.
I will look for it then.
You should. It's pretty fun. In fact, it's really fun. In fact, I'd say it's one of the best games on the Neo Geo.
5 out of 5.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So, I mean, I guess I may be the only one with a lot of love for the Neo Geo.
I have nothing against it. I just don't have a lot of experience with it.
You can get some experience with the Neo Geo.
I can get this $200 thingy bobber.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But what's weird is that the handheld, like, it's designed for Neo Geo games, but it's a widescreen handheld.
Mm-hmm.
So it just stretches all of the games.
That doesn't sound like a good thing.
No. But like, why did they put a widescreen on the handheld if it's made for Neo Geo games?
Because they want it to look like another handheld system that's kind of popular?
The Game Boy Micro?
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because it looks like the Game Boy Micro.
But bigger?
Slightly.
Okay.
Slightly. It's 4.2 inch screen. Micro's like a half inch screen, right?
It's a little larger than a half inch.
That's the Game Boy Micro.
It's the Game Boy Pico.
Yeah.
When a Game Boy Micro's too big.
Yep.
Reach for your Game Boy Micro.
Yep. I'd buy that.
With a magnifying glass so you can see what you're playing.
I would have bought a Game Boy Pico.
Yep. I will right now. Someone make one. Okay, let's get back on track.
Please. All right. Next up, OnLive has actually failed, just like we expected them to a year ago.
Did we?
Kind of.
Oh, I did.
OnLive has been sold.
Yeah.
To a private investor who intends to keep the service up at least in some way.
So we'll continue to exist in some capacity, just not...
In the capacity where they're spending $5 million a month on staff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the capacity that leads to failed businesses.
Right. So I'm thinking they're probably going to end up being sold now that they have, like, no business and all technology. But
yeah.
See. You know, I kind of liked OnLive. I never really had the right bandwidth for it, but... If OnLive had existed when I was in college, and I had the crazy T1 line on campus, mm-hmm. I would never have bought systems. It would just be, oh, okay, day one, I can just run it perfectly on this thing. Great.
It's a cool idea, but not something that, as someone who loves physical games and owning games.
Oh, sure.
I could never substitute that for a service like OnLive. I mean, sure. It's cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. They almost had the right idea because they knew that, you know, the cloud was getting more and more popular and there were more digital sales than physical sales. But I can't tell if they're either too early with this idea or too late. But whatever it is, the timing is right.
Yeah, I got a micro console from them and I never actually used it.
Oh, well.
Well, it still functions. The service is still up.
You could use it right now.
You should probably try it. I'm one of the 2 million customers before it goes away.
Yeah, I'm one of the 2 million registered users who never uses it.
I'm one of the 2 million registered users. I got one game for free one time, I think.
What game was that?
Orcs Must Die, I think.
Oh, okay. That's a good choice.
Not bad, yeah. Yeah, this is
my problem has always been a
360 controller, so I was trying to like map things with online, which was weird, but...
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My problem with them was always that if they did go out of business like they may now, what happens to the games I paid for?
Yep. Well, that's something to think about with all digital services.
Yes, but the others are at least already installed on my system.
Well, I'm saying...
They're not in my system. They're on a server somewhere.
Right, but what if, say, PSN went away?
Then you wouldn't have access to those games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, for a lot of people,
I wouldn't be able to re-download them. I'd have the ones on my system already.
But there are some that require a connection.
Yeah, there's that. And also, if your system ever died and you could not, you know, ever transfer those games, then those games are gone forever.
Yes.
Which is also why I have stuck with physical for everything except for the PSP.
Generally, I'm going to stick with physical until I'm forced not to anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. I like it because physical inventory has certain problems with it that I exploit at every opportunity.
How so?
Inventory.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, you can't get rid of that and have to sell it for $2? Okay. I guess I'll take that off your hands.
I mean, yeah. I never wanted Tony Hawk Ride, but for $5, why not?
I don't own that, but if you offered it to me for $5, I would buy it.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Don't you have like 3 versions of Skylanders now?
I do.
Yeah.
As of this week.
This is the problem.
Yep.
But it's also a great thing, I guess.
I started playing it over the weekend here, and it's not bad.
It seems competent.
Yeah, it's an interesting technology. Anyway.
We also had Gamescom this week.
I don't believe you.
Well, you don't have to believe me. I have proof.
Okay, let's hear it.
We got a release period for Remember Me, and it was announced and renamed.
Oh yeah, that game was originally a Sony exclusive, and then something happened.
And it was Sony canceled it, actually.
Oh, they canceled it, okay.
Sony canceled it, and they went adrift, and and looked for a new publisher. They found Capcom and changed it to Remember Me from Adrift.
Remember Me? I used to be named Adrift.
Yes.
Yes.
I will, whenever I hear Remember Me, I will always think of that one guy from Metroid Other M, who became kind of like a parody from the trailers. I don't remember the character's name. I don't remember him, sadly, but I remember the memes that were created from his dumb face.
Magnificent.
You guys don't know who I'm talking about, do you?
I do, but no. I don't remember his name.
No.
Yeah.
I give you a vague racist description of him, though.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, he's basically just, yeah. Remember me? Anyway. Remember me.
Remember me, dude, huh?
Yeah, that's what he is.
Great.
He's not in Remember Me, though.
Yet.
Yet.
That we know of.
They need to get the rights from Nintendo.
Yep.
That game looks really cool.
Yeah.
Which one? Remember Me?
At some point, we're going to actually talk about
it. I don't recall.
No, yeah, it does. It looks like kind of like Assassin's Creed meets Deus Ex meets Inception meets some other games. Maybe some Hitman. I don't know. It looks really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
There's a 7-minute like gameplay demonstration that's out there. Everyone should watch it.
I should watch that. All I've seen so far is screenshots, and they look amazing.
It seems really cool. And it's nice to have a game coming out from Capcom that I'm actually really excited about, because there really hasn't been much. I mean, RE6 is coming out. What's that?
EX Troopers.
Is that even coming out here?
Probably.
I hope so. That looks cool. But besides, just in terms of games that are actually announced.
Oh, fine.
All I really have is RE6, which after playing the demo, I'm not entirely excited about. But
Leighton versus Phoenix.
Again.
Also not
completely. Yeah.
Not completely Capcom, but. Yeah, that's the only thing from them I'm excited about, other than Remember Me.
I want that game, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, next, Sony went full out to. I guess they decided to make up for not showing anything for the Vita at E3, because they decided to give us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. So what do you want to talk about first?
Well, first we can just say we will finally get to play our PlayStation 1 games on the go on the Vita.
Oh, on the go
on August 28th. Yay.
Starting on August 28th.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope that means most of them. I really do.
I hope that means the ones I have, at least. I don't care about the ones I don't have.
Just
well then.
You have.
If I don't have it, I don't really care if it's on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Halting Sean right now, checking his library of games. You're like, these are the ones.
Yeah.
And the others, who cares?
So, you know, I definitely am excited about that. And I think when it actually happens, we'll be able to talk a little more about it. But for now, I think it's also important to note that that system update is also going to let you use buttons to control the interface.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like buttons.
Best update up.
It's just, like, especially disconcerting when, say, there's a game that doesn't ever have touch controls, but then, like, you have to, like, you know, whenever you save the game, are you sure you want to save? Oh, right, I have to touch the screen with the bot. Like, what am I doing? And then also, like, I can't just hit up and down to go past the windows. And
yeah, there's nothing wrong with buttons. I don't know why they keep having to go away from that.
Using the touch controls is cool, but you know, every time I turn on the Vita, it doesn't matter what, after I do the little, you know, slide the thing across the screen and open the menu, I'm just like, all right, start pressing buttons. Oh, wait, I forgot.
Yep.
I can't do that. Every single time.
Not for long.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not going to play my Vita until that update comes out.
Okay.
Guys, well, explain to me. Hard.
Wait, that means no Trails in the Sky. Dude.
Oh. Well, you're right. Damn it. I think that.
So for those that don't have a Vita, like me, what does that mean for like PlayStation 1 back like compatibility? Like how does that work?
The Vita has no ability to play the PlayStation 1 classics on it right now.
Like the PSP does.
Oh, like from the PS network?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I beg your pardon. Okay. Why wouldn't they have that at launch?
They said there was technical issues in making it work or something like that.
Because they're Sony.
Yes.
Yeah, like
technical issues.
It already had like 99% like, compatibility with PSP games.
Just like, you know, the DualShock didn't work
with 6-axis. Yeah, I mean, it already had 99% compatibility with PSP games, and then PSP can run PS1 classics, so this whole thing is dumb.
Yeah, okay.
I think there were piracy issues. I get the feeling there were piracy issues.
I have a feeling they'll blame piracy as an issue.
Oh, well, yes.
But not saying that it's not, but that's usually a go-to move is either, well, there are technical problems, or we want to make sure to combat piracy or something like that instead of, I don't know, we don't know what we're doing, poorly planned.
We have no reason for this, we just want to...
Would you guys want that?
Yes. You guys like video games. Oh. I thought you guys just like spending money on overpriced stuff. Our bad.
I do sometimes.
We do, apparently. Because 3 of the 5 of us on here have a Vita from launch.
Hey, look. The Vita was, I mean, yes, I will admit that my Vita sat unused for like a number of months this year, but there's a lot of good stuff coming, and starting, well, last week or two here, there's been some really good stuff. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I know. But...
Okay, yeah. Let's keep going. All right.
So next, we also had the cross-buy program. Where certain games will be able to give you both the PS3 and the Vita version when you buy one or the other.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So I'm really glad they're naming that, because that means they're going to try to do it often.
Well, there's at least 4 games that are going to be doing it, right?
Well, I mean, Sound Shapes already did it before they called it cross-buy. And now PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which actually I think that might be the tipping point that lets me get that game. Sly
4, yeah.
Sly,
I'm getting that now.
And then the new Ratchet and Clank, which is the...
Right, Full Frontal Assault. Yeah.
So, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Really good move, Sony. I think everyone is, like, I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about Sony in, like, a week now. It's kind of a new record.
It's crazy.
I mean, I'm sure one guy somewhere was like, ah, I hate you, Sony. But everyone else, you know.
You've avoided the areas where they're still saying that they need to drop the price.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that is still coming out. People are expecting that starting a price drop, but Sony's like, not in 2012.
Yeah, they're like, we need to make more money still.
Yeah. Kind of important.
Yeah, they haven't really made money, so.
And, I mean, $249, you know. I mean, it's not
the worst thing.
It's not the worst price. It could have been $349. Then, of course, nobody would have bought it, but.
I fully expected it to be $349.
Probably would have bought it.
Yeah, well, okay. I would have purchased it no matter what.
But I appreciate their mercy.
Yeah.
Yes. We also got PlayStation Plus is coming to the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I actually like, despite my prior reservations about it when it was first announced.
I don't like
care
free
about PlayStation
things.
Plus, but I still think it's cool news.
Because
now that means Vita games will be free.
I've had it for a year because I keep forgetting to cancel it.
It's pretty great,
so
though.
I have a bunch of free games on here now.
Yeah. So I mean, this month they just gave everyone the first 2 episodes of The Walking Dead. That's pretty good.
I don't know if this is official or next or not, but next month they're apparently maybe Red Dead Redemption for free.
That's for Europe. They haven't confirmed about
for
the
Europe. Yet. Okay.
Yeah, I would imagine that may be the case, because you know right now they have in the you know Ultimate Game Collection thing they're doing. They've had what? Saints Row 2, Just Cause 2.
Little Big Planet.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've had some first party stuff. Little Big Planet and Infamous 2?
Yep, bunch of 2s.
I just couldn't remember where it was, 1 or 2. So they've had stuff, but they have had, like, third party retail games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Red Dead was not an incredibly successful game, at least by Rockstar standards, so...
Really? I thought it was... Wasn't it incredibly... I think you're thinking of Max Payne 3.
Well, Max Payne 3 didn't sell particularly well for them, but...
I swear Red Dead was one of the, like, close to GTA 4 numbers for them.
It was, but not on the PS3.
I just remember it got...
I think it did much better on the PC and the 360.
I just remember it got totally, totally stomped the first couple weeks because they timed it for... What was it they released it, like, right at...
Well, Alan Wake came out the same week as that game, but Alan Wake didn't do so well.
Mm.
Most people think because of Red Dead, although they're kind of different games.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. I just know that, like, it didn't quite have, like, GTA numbers, but it's definitely a great game.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I mean, at this point, if you wanted it, you probably bought it, so giving it away for free doesn't really hurt them.
I haven't bought it yet. I want it.
Okay, well, hey, you get it now.
But I'm the only one.
Maybe. I wonder if they're making a sequel then, because this seems like a really good idea if they're going to bring out a sequel or announce a sequel in a couple months and just try and get as many people on the Red Dead train as possible.
Well, I think right now they haven't really been promoting it, but GTA 5 is probably their top concern, so if we see another Red Dead, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see another one of those till next gen. if anything.
Yeah, though, I mean,
based on how long it takes them to make games, but it could be
they like putting out one big one a year, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if a Red Dead sequel is their 2014 game. That seems like about the right timing.
But hey, although I just remembered, do you guys remember, speaking of Sony, you guys remember that game called Agents?
I do remember that game.
I do.
I do not.
There are people who insist that game still exists.
It's on their website. It's one of the, like, under the Social Club stuff. It's still listed as coming soon. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's been coming soon for 4 years, though.
Yeah. We haven't heard anything. But again, that happened with L.A. Noire. That was announced. Never heard anything about it. That was supposed to be a PS3 exclusive at first. And then Max Payne 3 was announced. It had a big Game Informer cover. And then it took this long for it to actually come out. So,
it took them forever.
Well, yeah, but speaking just in terms of Rockstar stuff.
Take-Two stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. But that isn't just because Rockstar takes... That's just because Rockstar takes his time with its games, and usually it pays off.
Yeah, you're right.
True.
But anyway, back to Sony Gamescom.
Sure.
Sony, for the next title, how many of you guys 5 years ago would have said that Killzone and not Resistance would be the catch-all alien shooter series for Sony?
I would have.
I
don't like either one that much, but I think Resistance is probably the better game, so I would have told you that Killzone will be the one that would stick around.
this is true, although Killzone's
fair enough
too. But I think it all started with that big not pre-rendered, even though it was pre-rendered.
Even though it was, obviously.
Killzone trailer for the PS3, and that kind of like, people weren't interested in it because it was a Killzone game. People were interested in it because it looked really good, even if they didn't believe it was, you know, actually running off of PS3.
Sure.
So that kind of made that series successful, or at least started the hype train for that. Because the first Killzone was very it wasn't well received, and not many people really cared about it.
Yeah, of course. So the news is that there's a new Vita game coming.
Yes,
and
the news is probably Killzone will beat Resistance to the Vita.
Well,
if Resistance ever shows up.
Let's Resistance Burning Skies already came out in the Vita.
Yeah.
How did I not notice that?
It came out like a week before E3, and then like no one paid any attention.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently it wasn't very good.
Yeah, also it wasn't very good. Also, so they had Unit 13 on that, which was supposedly like a, you know, shooter you could play on your Vita.
Oh, yeah. I have the demo for that.
Yep, that was from the SOCOM guys, so that replaced SOCOM there. And then
SOCOM was closed down, so, yeah.
Yep. And so, really, if you want a shooter on your Vita, what you probably want is you want Black Ops Declassified, which is also coming for the Vita, and they're going to make a big deal.
It will probably be better than all those others, yes.
Great.
It's from the same developers as Resistance Burning Skies, so I don't think... I think after everyone learned that, everyone was just like, yeah, I don't really... I'm not interested in that anymore. And I was one of those people.
Okay, well, if you don't want to shoot people on your Vita, then we have Tearaway by Media Molecule.
Yep. That game's pretty cool looking.
They are Media Molecule, though.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm just going to shut up now.
Andrew, would you like to tell people about Tearaway?
About Tearaway?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
I would love to, but I don't know anything about it.
But
SK, no one does.
Are you setting up for something?
It's made out of paper. And it's like an adventure game by Media Molecule.
It looks pretty cool. It looks Media Molecule. Cool. Damn it.
Okay. This podcast is going nowhere fast.
It is not.
Before we keep going, the thing about that game is that everything is paper craft, and that they are hinting that there is some way in which you can like print out everything in the game, physically decorate it, take a picture of it, and then put it back in the game, decorated it how you want to. Which is pretty crazy.
It sounds like too much effort to go through to do that, but
right, people totally do.
It's a neat idea.
Guys, remember the Game Boy printer?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
It was not very good.
Introducing the Vita printer.
Yep.
Nope. Yeah.
All right.
Well, it has Bluetooth, so technically, yeah, you can use lots of printers.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
All right, keep going. Until Dawn was announced for the PS3, for the Move.
That looks pretty bad, yes.
It looks like a bad horror movie, except with Move controls.
Like, yeah, they say they want it to be a teen horror movie, so yes.
Move is that? I can't believe they're still trying to make that work.
They are still trying. They will not give up on that.
You know, they were implying that is a full retail title.
Worse. Yes.
Because they were very specific about, like, the other ones being like, this is a PlayStation Network exclusive. And that was, they made, they were painstakingly not saying that with that game. So, what?
It's even worse.
I don't.
Well, on what other system can you take 17, lock them away in the woods for a night, and kill them without getting in trouble?
What?
What?
Wait, what, no, can you say that again?
Yeah.
Are you recording me?
Yes.
Yes, Sean, you are being recorded.
Then I'll plead the fifth.
I don't even...
The Sims, probably.
What about that Puppeteer game? What is that
Objection.
All about? Tell me about Puppeteer. Wasn't that announced? I don't know anything about it except it's called Puppeteer.
I think there's a puppet in.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Puppeteer was the one they were being, like, the most vague about. But it's a very whimsical-looking game. That
I would hope so.
It sounds like the third in the trilogy of Racketeer and Racketeer.
Puppeteer?
Yeah.
Racketeer?
Yeah, that's what it was. Racketeer and Racketeer, which was a Kinect game.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Mouseketeer.
And then Tearaway.
What are we talking about?
I don't know!
Okay, let's finish this up and talk about Rain, because Rain looks pretty cool.
I thought we weren't talking about Rain anymore.
Oh, God.
We talked about Rain last week. What are you trying to
this
do
is there? Rain with a lowercase r.
Different
but
Rain.
But somehow like still, okay. Somehow still like a game title. I don't know.
I don't know anything about this game either. So
okay, well, it's an adventure game from Japan Studio, where... Okay. You are invisible, except you can be seen during, like, when you're in rain, because rain is hitting you. And then, yeah.
That's pretty
it's
cool,
as
actually.
The, cameraman
that's actually
sounds
Daredevil. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm
it looks really cool. I don't know how it plays, but it looks cool.
I like games that look cool.
Okay. Sean, do you have any more news, or can we, like, start moving
can we
on?
Can we kill this segment?
Oh, we can move on and kill it.
Okay.
Just like the woods.
That's... You want to kill the woods?
No, he wants to take
this
segment
woods.
Into the woods like you can in that game we were just talking about where you have a flashlight.
Right. Leave it there overnight and see if it's still alive.
Yay, Sony. They
can all be winners.
Okay.
Andrew, what have you been playing?
Oh, hey! Well, speaking of Sony, I've been playing two PSN exclusives.
Yeah.
This one is Popo EO, which is a game all about trying to fight... Well, this kid about trying to escape his kind of depressing reality, where his father gets drunk and beats him.
Yes.
Yeah. We're gonna bring it down to the level of depression here. Which
yeah. I should say before we continue that they did officially change the name of the game to Popo and Yo with an ampersand, I guess because people couldn't handle Spanish.
Yeah, but everyone still says Popo and Yo.
Okay.
That's what the cool people say.
Clearly.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. But yeah, it's basically you. So the game starts, you escape to this fantasy world, and you have this cool pal robot guy named Lula, who is kind of like Clank and Ratchet and Clank. He's a little jetpack guy. And you wander around this South American village that's kind of peppered with different fantastical things that's like his imagination pulling this really weird world together. And then you run into this thing called Monster. Not the monster, just Monster. That's his name.
Yep.
And you have to help him cure him of an addiction, which he is addicted to coconuts and frogs.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so in the beginning of the game, it's basically you using the coconuts to lead him around and solve puzzles and whatnot. And there's a lot of like pushing and pulling things in the environment. You pick up these cardboard boxes and it moves houses and you use that to create bridges. And at first the puzzles are pretty simple, just kind of introducing you to the mechanics. And then frogs are introduced. And when Monster eats the frogs, he becomes like enraged and tries to hurt you. So basically you need to find a way to to calm him down by giving him rotten fruit. Now, this all sounds really ridiculous, because it kind of is.
And also really depressing.
It is, it's very depressing, because the entire game is a metaphor for the kid's, Kiko's life. Of course, based on the life of the game's creator, whose name escapes me right now.
Evander Cavallero? Yeah.
Yep. He's been talking about it for a few years now, and it's always sounded intriguing to me, so.
Yeah.
I think it's turned out pretty well. I mean, again, it's not the happiest game in the world, although it does have some kind of happy moments.
Like, if it did, that would be messed up.
Andrew, I've been hearing very polarizing opinions about this game, and I think you said yourself you can't really decide yet.
Oh, no, I really like this game, actually.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, the thing people don't like about it is the puzzles are kind of simple, and sometimes the mechanics aren't entirely, like they don't explain some of the mechanics of the game world to you as easily as some other games might. Like a game like Journey, for example, this is the closest comparison I can think of, even though they're pretty dissimilar games.
Yeah, just, one of them is about Hero's Journey, and the other one's about your dad being a horrible raging alcoholic.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
other than that, they're very similar.
Which one would you rather play?
I think Journey is less depressing, even though it has its depressing moments. But
it does.
Yeah, but I mean, the way Journey explains its mechanics to you is relatively simple. You jump into that game and you're never once lost or confused. You know, I mean, if you are, then you just might not be paying very much attention. But generally, the game lays things out to you in a way that doesn't require like any huge explanations. But I think
it's more about experiencing.
The
world, right? Yeah, it's not supposed to be like this. Great challenge or great mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Mind-bending quiz game or anything like that.
Papo Yo is more is more about the puzzles, which, you know, do require some explaining, and some people felt the explanations weren't as readily available. I mean, they have these hint boxes, which are actually really cool. They give you these kind of cute drawings inside of this box that give you hints, but they don't like completely spell out like how to solve this puzzle. But like the cohesiveness of the world, some people aren't really connecting with it because there are like, you'll enter a new area and you might not know what to do because you're just in a new area. The monster's there eating coconuts, just doing, you know, whatever. And you have to try to figure out how to get up to this higher area. But, you know, the way the game explains it isn't always clear. But I never really had that problem because I always, because they have these chalk drawings on like parts of the buildings. And usually when you interact with them, something happens. So usually my first instinct is to go to where the chalk drawings are. And interact with it if I can, and then move from there, and then try to like lead monster somewhere and go from there. And it's not always clear, but I think if you pay enough attention to the environment, you can figure things out pretty easily. And the puzzles themselves are really well designed. They're not super difficult, but they feel just challenging enough that they're rewarding. But again, once the game gets to the end, it's kind of in a way kind of hitting you over the head like. This is our theme. This is what we're going for. You get
it.
And that's kind of a problem. But then, of course, at the very end, it really hits you. Like, this is really strong stuff. I mean, it's heavy handed at times, the way they handle the different story elements. Like, it's obvious that Monster represents Kiko's father and his addiction to frogs is his alcoholic problem. You know, things like that.
Yeah. And from what I understand, I haven't played the game yet, but there's like a quote at the very beginning that's like,
This is
for my sister and mother who dealt with my father, the monster. Like, just to, in case you weren't clear, my father is the monster. Yeah, sincerely, the game.
Yeah. it wants you to know. It wants you to know. And if by the end of the game you still haven't figured it out, then, again, you're not paying much attention because it's throwing it in your face. But except for in the beginning and a little bit in the end, it's thankfully never too bad about it. It's usually, you know, there are things about it that I still can't figure out. I kind of want to go back and play through it. To kind of, you know, put the pieces together, because there are certain puzzles that clearly reflect something that happened in this kid's life, but they're never like, oh, we're just going to spell it out for you. So it's a really interesting game, and I think it's one that everyone should play. I mean, you know, I don't expect everyone to run out and pay $15 for it because it's not super long. And if, you know, some people might not be, you know, super enthralled with the gameplay elements like the puzzles and whatnot, but I think it tells a really cool story. Depressing story, but an interesting one. So
yeah.
It's okay to be depressing sometimes if it's yeah. if it's done well.
If it's done yeah. well, it's good to good to be depressing if it's done well. I like that. It's I don't know. I think people should check it out. It's again, I put it in the same category as Journey because it's about more than just gameplay elements. You know, I mean, they're again very dissimilar, but they kind of fit into the same category for me as games that I had to. After when the credits started rolling and the game ended, I had to put down the controller and kind of just stop and think about what just happened, what I went through.
Yeah, it seems maybe closest to something like, I mean, not necessarily in gameplay, but as far as an effect, to something like Dear Esther.
That's another great example. Yeah, Dear Esther. Although that's definitely even less of a game than Journey and Papo EO are.
Right.
There's not much to it outside of, you know, wandering around this island, but it's in terms of narrative, it's very. Kind of direct about, well, not direct, but like it's very similar in terms sure. of how it presents its story.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
It's a cool game.
Okay.
And also, I played which this game comes out on Tuesday. This is a completely different game. And what I say,
are you sure?
Yes.
Is it about alcoholism?
No. Well,
are you sure.
Well, unless the character you're playing as is going back through time to recount the events that he can't remember because he was too drunk.
So you're saying this is the Hangover, the
this
game.
This is the Hangover, the game, except instead of it being some kind of adventure game, it's a shoot 'em up that's also a rhythm game.
Yes. Okay. Yep. I'd play that.
Okay. Well, yep. There you go. You should get Retrograde.
Okay.
But it's basically you start the game. The game is over. You defeat the last boss, and then everything goes in reverse, and you have to go through all these 10 different levels. In reverse, lining up your shots, because you can't, you know, disrupt the space-time continuum. So you have to line up your shots as they're coming back towards you, the bullets you fired, because you're going back in time. So as you're doing that, you have to also avoid enemy fire that's coming towards you from the left. And it's all set to music, so it's less of a shmup and more of a rhythm game.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is it set to Huey Lewis and the News music?
Sadly, no. No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's all original music. So there's no license Huey Lewis in the News.
It's too bad. That was a
DLC maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But no, but it's each stage has as a different song that goes along with it, and the way you kind of absorb the bullets that you shot out as you're going back in time. That goes along with a beat, and then you avoid different projectiles and whatnot. And some have you hold the button, some have you tap the button really fast. And as the game goes on, of course, it gets harder. And then there are 6 different difficulties. So if you're really into a challenge, go on the extreme difficulty, and you'll have a lot of fun. But it's there's not really much to say about it, except I think it's a really cool idea, and it's even though it's not exactly a shmup, it's an interesting mix of two genres that you don't really see that often.
Yeah. So also, if you happen to have a certain controller gathering dust in your closet.
If you're one of those people who owns a PS3 guitar controller, which no one around me, anywhere near me, has one. I mean, I could go out and buy one, but I'm not that crazy. So, I never got to play it, but you can play the entire game with the PS3 guitar controller, and
its own difficulty setting there.
Actually, I would think, because when I was, of course, this was before the game came out, so there weren't as many people on the leaderboards as, you know, there will be when the game actually comes out, but there are a fair few people, and they list if you played with the controller or with the guitar. Everyone who was at the top played with the guitar. There were like 2 people in particular I kept seeing who played with the entire game with the guitar, and they had the highest scores. So I'm thinking maybe the trick to beating this game on the hardest difficulty is playing with the guitar controller.
Right, because instead of moving up and down, you can move to any of the lanes at any time. So,
Exactly. It's probably much simpler, and I would hope it works well, but I sadly didn't get to try it. But it works fine with the controller. The controller is a lot of fun. The movement of the spaceship is very particular. So you have to get used to both the movement of the ship, like the way it moves up and down in the lanes, and as well as like kind of somewhat memorizing the way the projectiles work. So.
Right.
On the harder difficulties, there's a lot more to it than simply just, move to this lane, press this button to the music.
Cool.
It's less depressing than Papo EO.
I would hope so. All right. So while we're on the topic of PSN exclusive rhythm ish games, I can talk about what I've been playing. Yeah.
Sorry, Graham, what game have you been playing?
I've been playing a few different games, but
Of course.
I can talk about Sound Shapes.
Talk about Sound Shapes then.
So Sound Shapes is basically the best thing.
Oh, whoa.
Yep.
The best thing.
Whoa.
It's pretty good.
Is this our game of the year? Is it just happening right now?
We can talk about that in December.
Okay.
But yeah, so Sound Shapes is a platformer, I guess. It's a platform game. You collect things and you get from one end of the level to the other. Sound Shapes.
The end. Moving on.
Oh, do I need to say something else about? Oh, right. Yes.
You do.
Okay.
I'm not sold on this yet.
So, let me see. What else can I say? There's little like collectibles in there, and there's like platforms, and there are obstacles.
Whoa.
And there are different levels, and that you can play them, and that. Right. I'm forgetting something about this game. What is it?
Might have something to do with sound or shapes.
Right, yes, okay. So, yes, both of those are important. So, you're this little dude, and all the levels are designed to basically make a song. Almost all of the objects that are in a level, all the collectibles, everything creates a rhythm, makes a sound to a rhythm. And when you collect the little collectibles, then that triggers their sound. And every time, like, the little, like, two measures, basically, loops, it'll play it every time after you collect it. And then it stays there. Like, it doesn't scroll. It's set up in screens that you get from one side to the other, and then you move to the next one. And so those sounds stay for a few screens. And then, like, basically the music keeps evolving as you go through. And you're basically, like, helping to build and create these really cool songs as you get through. And also the rhythm helps because like obstacles, like if there's this laser thing that goes off, the laser goes off in rhythm. So you listen to the rhythm and you know when the lasers go off and how to get through it.
So
yeah,
like Retrograde isn't exactly a shmup, but it's based in like that concept.
Yeah.
You would say Sound Shapes is more of a rhythm / music game, even though it's kind of a platformer in the same vein.
It's totally a platformer. I wouldn't say it's a music game. It's a game that has music in it.
Okay.
It's definitely a platform. Okay. But the other important thing is that in the campaign, each, they call them albums, each world basically, is a setup with one artist and one musician. And so they create all these really cool effects visually, and then they get, you know, some really talented artist, be it like chiptune artists, like I Am Robot and Proud, and they got a guy from Cappy, which is pretty great.
Oh, isn't that the guy who did the soundtrack for Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery?
Well, actually, this guy was the Super Time Force guy that's coming out. But no, there is a set of levels that brings back Super Brothers and Jim Guthrie together. So basically, if you like Sword and Sorcery, there's a whole world of levels that they've made, which are pretty great. There's Beck and Deadmau5.
Yes. Because they were really promoting. I'm actually surprised they didn't really promote. I didn't know Beck was in this game at all until it came out.
Well, that was kind of their big push over the summer, was they were showing off all the Beck levels. And they never really showed off the Deadmau5 levels, but they mentioned Deadmau5 on the VGAs, so I guess that was all they were going
to
do.
Yeah, I was going to say, they mentioned Deadmau5 a lot during the VGAs and whatnot. Like, it was supposed to be, like, this big thing, and then, I don't know.
So the cool thing is, but before I forget, the thing is you go through these campaign levels and you unlock all of these pieces, and then you have an editor where you can just make all of the stuff using all of these sounds / really cool designed objects and make your own songs / levels to get through, which is pretty great. But yeah, so like the fun thing is that each of these is basically like a different set of things. Like Beck actually sings a little bit. His is the last world in the game, though you can play through them in any order. You should probably play through them in that order because it gets tougher. His actually has little like sound clips, which are interesting. You could, you know, put them in, and Deadmau5 is very, very Space Invaders kind of thing going on.
I like Space Invaders.
Graham, is there a level with the Terminator theme song in it? That's what I've heard.
I'm sure there is, because there's an editor and a community feature that's like little.
Ah, so somebody has made a Terminator level, which means I'm going to have to get this game.
Yes.
Well, I mean, and obviously your glowing review and it's intelligent comments on it would be another reason I would get it.
yeah, and my review actually won't be up at the time of this episode, and maybe early next week.
Cool.
But I wanted to nail down. There were some server issues at launch, and I want to make sure that all the community stuff holds up, but it does.
So, Graham, is this a game that you feel, because looking at it, it looks very unique. Would you say that this is a totally like original idea, or is it sort of some stuff we've seen before, but maybe repackaged a little bit, or what would you say?
The closest thing to this is Little Big Planet, I guess, because you get to create levels and make levels and like the sharing part, but it doesn't play like that. So I have not played a game like this. That's cool. I don't know of a game like this. If anything, it's maybe a combination of, you know what? No, I can't.
That's great.
The music
aspect
of this is
sometimes you can say. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the music aspect of this is just—it's too original.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love when you can't say, well, this game is a combination of this and this.
Yeah.
Because usually when I do it, it sort of does the game itself a disservice, right? Like it's not really just a mesh of one thing and another thing. I mean, there's sort of elements or feelings from one game and another in here. But
right.
To find a game where you can't really say it's like anything, very cool. Very exciting.
So we can move on, but I want to say three more things about this game. One,
okay.
It has the cross-buy that we mentioned earlier. So you buy it and you have it for the PS3 and the Vita.
Cool.
It's useful in both, because the Vita, it's a little bit easier, I think, to create levels, because it's the one time rear touch has ever made sense to scale objects. But you know, then PS3 is great for showing off levels and things like that. And if you can sync them over the cloud and get trophies for both if you care about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is the graphic design. They got Corey Schmitz to do all the interface work for it. And I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he's basically been doing like all of the geek internet things.
All of it, basically.
The interface is really slick and in a very simple way. That's just, when you see it, you'll get it. It's exactly what it needed to be.
Cool.
And the third thing is all of the campaign is not designed to be crazy masochist. You know, like it's fairly easy to, if you'd like, get through the whole campaign. But if you want skill, there are two modes. Once you beat the campaign, you get death mode, which is like the hardest thing I've ever seen, where you have like 30 seconds to collect the little things, basically run back and forth through crazy obstacles like a madman. If you want that, you can get trophies doing it, but it's not part of the like main campaign where you can just really enjoy yourself and just be happy through it. And then there's this little mode called Beat School, where it brings you into the editor and plays like a beat. And then you have to sequence up the beat using the tools, and it really shows you what you can do with the system. That's not just like, I'll put this here and put this there, because they're loops, but like, especially with like Deadmau5 and Beck and things like that, they're like longer pieces, but you can cut them off by putting another sound next to them so that you basically create new and different sounds part of it. Anyway, I just love that because like, they could have just stopped at the campaign and be like, okay, the campaign's over, now go play the levels. But they put some extra challenges in there, and also they put the trophies off in those, so you don't have to worry about trophies when you're just like running through, hey, I got all my Super Brothers level. There's this little dude. He's shooting a laser at me, but he's shooting a laser at me like very businesslike. Anyway. Okay,
I still need to get it. But I think it's awesome that PSN has kind of become, just in the past month and a half, PSN has kind of become like, well, both in terms of like, it's become the new Xbox Live Arcade in terms of all these great indie games that are coming out for it, but also just the past month and a half.
Dyad, which is similar in this way, I think, in that it's not really a music game.
I was going to mention both that, Dyad, Soundshapes, and now Retrograde are all three musically influenced games that aren't exactly music games.
Yeah.
that are coming out within like a month and a half of each other. So if you like games that are kind of like music games,
if you like games,
if you like video games,
seriously, these are games for people who like games, yeah. And you do, because why else are you listening to this podcast? Seriously.
Gotta be the sexy sounds of our voices.
Yeah. Everyone's
seek professional help.
Everyone's here for Sean.
Well, I am.
Okay. Alright.
Alright. Moving on. We've heard about Sound Shapes. Let's see who wants to go next.
I think Sean wants to go next.
Yeah, Sean, what are you playing?
Well, I've been playing a virus named Tom. Which is a puzzle game.
It's just a great name.
It is.
It is.
I love that name.
It also has a great premise. You're created evil. By Dr. X.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're not evil. The guy that created you is evil.
He created you to be evil.
Really? Yeah. His name is Dr. X. He has to be evil, right?
I mean, that's probably just a nickname.
Poor guy.
Poor, bad nickname then.
Yep.
Anyway, all of Dr. X's previous inventions to get back at the people who fired him after he created a giant killing machine.
Yep.
That's not a good thing. I mean,
maybe don't make giant killing machines.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to keep your job.
I was working on one too. I guess I should. Oh well.
I mean, it really depends. If you're working for the government. If you're not working for the government, then maybe you want to build a giant killing machine.
Or, you know, if you're working, let's say, in a lair underground a volcano.
Sure.
Then you can put your doctorate in evil physics to work and.
I want a doctorate in evil physics. Where can I get this?
Evil university, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm going.
Yep. Okay.
They may have an online class.
I hope so.
Post-grad program at Evil University.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sean, what do you do in this game?
You rearrange pipes to transfer green energy into every single circuit on the board.
Let's be clear.
It's not green energy and it's not pipes.
Okay, it's circuits. But they look like pipes. But and it looks like green energy.
I just want to clarify. Also, this is Pipe Dreams, the video game. Remember Pipe Dreams from BioShock?
I did not like that minigame.
You know, it's actually based in like a game that existed before.
Yeah, there's an actual game called Pipe Dream.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Which is
I learned so much being on this podcast, you guys.
I just think of the BioShock.
It was a DOS game.
I just aged again listening to this podcast. Awesome.
Well, everyone aged.
Oh, don't worry, Chris. I used to play it on Windows 3.1. So.
Oh yeah.
I'm with you.
No, I played it too. Alright. But yeah, so, yeah, that's basically the game. But it's not just that, because there are some awesome co-op and local multiplayer modes.
Yes, there is multiplayer, which is fun.
Yeah.
The player is more of a strategy/Bomberman type of hybrid.
Yep.
You have to take over squares. And whoever has the most squares wins, but you can kill everyone else by setting off four-way bombs.
So it's exactly like Bomberman.
When they die, they lose their area, and you get to take it back from them.
Yep.
I like Bomberman.
Yep.
Yes.
I played a little bit of this game, and like that's a really fun party mode, and then the one-player game is really like an interesting strategy thing. But then the co-op mode. Because of how fast you're supposed to be turning these things, the cooperation you have to do to like avoid all these obstacles and move all these things in like as fast as humanly possible is crazy. Yep.
Which is like the ultimate co-op.
As I understand, you can do that. That's one of the majors at Evil University. It's brain sharing.
Elective. I'll take that as an elective. I'll get back to you guys.
Okay. We'll check in 3 years.
Alright. I'll have my evil machine ready. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dr. X went to Evil University because his inventions before he invented the giant machine were a little bit out there too. Like a robot dog takes place of real dogs.
Yep.
And a teleporter that can teleport pieces of you instead of all of you.
That's, I think that is respectively.
Although that only happens, that only happens after you
mess it up.
Alternate and yeah, virus.
I mean, that could be handy if you just don't, if you want only part of you to go somewhere, you just want the rest of you to stay somewhere else.
Yeah, like your heart.
Yeah, just, you know. I don't need this for a few hours. Yeah.
Here, take it.
Yeah. You can go do good somewhere else.
We can go part of this for a while.
Alright.
Anyway. Sounds like a fun game though.
But yeah, so it's available on PC. And yes. It's super indie. It's just
super indie.
Well, I mean, like it's just the one guy and did his wife help? I'm not sure. Anyway, but as far as like actual indie and not indie, and that it's 40 people, yeah. But it's clear that like it was created with a lot of vision.
I just like the
very cohesive.
I like the term super indie now. I'm gonna start using that.
Okay.
The resurgence of indie games this generation has been something that not a lot of people saw coming, but it's so nice to see. Like, yeah. I love seeing all the reviews on our sites. We have such a good, really good, diverse group of, you know, AAA titles that come out, and then games like this where most people probably never would have heard about them, and it's probably just, maybe not this game specifically, but like one or two guys have made a game that ends up being incredible. So I think that's really great.
Yeah.
Okay. You should have seen our, list of games of the year in 2010, when I think half our games were not on most people's radars at all.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's cool.
That year was Mass Effect 2, though, right?
Yeah, that year was, yeah, so we still...
Yeah, but we also had Sakura Wars.
Yes. Yeah, Sakura Wars was like our runner-up.
Graham Andrew told me to talk to you about Sakura Wars one day.
Buy it. About Sakura Wars.
Yeah, conversation over.
Yeah,
hey, Graham, I'd like to talk to you about Sakura Wars. Bye now. Well, is there anything else you could tell? No.
Yes.
Bye now.
I can tell you a lot about it, but I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil it. I might, yeah.
The conversation will be the same for Valkyria Chronicles 1 and 2, and also Ghost Recon Shadow Wars. So.
The conversation's a little different for Valkyria Chronicles 2. Oh. Yeah. I'll sigh a little in the middle of it. But still tell you to buy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We should probably move on, eh?
Oh, yeah. So, our topic for...
Yes.
This week is we're going to be talking about the games we are most looking forward to for the rest of 2012, since, you know, these last few months in 2012 are basically when everything else comes out.
Except for the stuff that comes out next year.
Yeah, except for everything else that comes out in 2013, which is, you know, early 2013 is becoming the late 2012. But, hey, there's still stuff to look forward to in 2012, right?
For sure. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. We'll just go around and each person, everyone, pick a game you're looking forward to the most. So I'm going to start with, I guess I'll start. So sure. You guys have time to think about games if you haven't thought about it yet.
Sure.
I think the big one for me is Rayman Legends, which
yep.
I'm just going to say Rayman Origins, my favorite platformer of this generation.
I'm on board with that.
I loved everything about it. Yeah. You know, great co-op, great single player. It's a slap happy game. Very fun.
Sure.
And Rayman Legends looks like more of that, but with an even nicer art style, which I didn't think was possible.
And one more player.
And 5-player co-op. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Why not?
I like this.
It's exclusive to Wii U, isn't it?
Yes, and it was just announced recently that it's a Wii U exclusive, so.
Yeah.
Will it be a launch?
Yeah, it's a launch game, too. So, I mean,
that's how we know it's releasing in 2012.
Of course. Yeah, otherwise, yeah.
I think Nintendo just confirmed. Nintendo Land is confirmed as a launch game, but then who knows whether Pikmin will be launch window or whether New Super Mario Bros. U will be launch window.
You really don't know anything about the Wii U, except apparently it's still coming out this year. So.
And all the Ubisoft games will be out on launch day.
including Rayman Legends, which, the 5-player co-op looks really cool. I liked the little music thing they did. I think Ubisoft... Or Nintendo's press conference where they did that. I think it was
Ubisoft. Oh, right.
Ubisoft, where they had the 5-player.
Because they spent all their time with Zombie U at Nintendo's event.
All right. So yeah, Rayman. Yeah, that was, they did that little musical thing, the musical platformer thing. Speaking of
best thing.
Yeah, speaking of music in video games, that's interactive. It's awesome.
They took good music, and they took good video games, and they made music's part of the game part. So that's
yeah.
They hinted at it with that like instrument themed world and Origins, but
Origins, they never took it far enough.
Yep, this is now far enough. Well, you know what? Now they just keep taking it.
Yeah.
Guitar controller next time.
When the third one comes out, we'll
add a six player that uses
eight player.
Okay.
Eight player, including Rock Band controllers that will somehow work for the Wii U.
Sure.
All right.
Well, the Rock Band controllers for the Wii should work for the Wii U.
True. There you go.
Done. Okay.
If they have, do they know if like which have they confirmed which games are launched, like a Zombie U?
Yeah. Well, basically,
or Pikmin.
Everything that Ubisoft's talked about is confirmed as launch, I think. Like Zombie U and
maybe
and
not.
That's
going
to be hard for me to. That's going to be hard for me not to get a Wii U then, because I was going to pretend to have absolutely no interest in it. But if they have Pikmin, Zombie U, the new Rayman game, and then some other stuff, and reviews are good, then that might be hard for me to avoid.
And I mean, if you're looking for a non-Mario platformer, which you know, the fact that you at launch you have a system with two huge platformers. I mean, we don't know if New Super Mario Bros. U is coming out at launch, but it's
I think it's probably launch window.
Yeah. So I mean, the fact that you have two different platforms to choose from, and they're both pretty different games, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm buying a Wii U if anything for Rayman Legends, so that is the game I'm probably most looking forward to.
Yeah.
There we go.
So let's move on to Graham. Hey,
that's
Graham.
One less game I have to talk about.
All right.
So I will go ahead and say there's not much I can say about it except. Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I think that was,
It's a Paper Mario game, and I like Paper Mario games.
You do?
So it doesn't really
you
have
do,
to...
You?
It doesn't really have to that. Do anything new at all. And it will be one of my favorite games of the year.
If it does new stuff, that's even better, but if it doesn't, then, hey.
Yep.
Paper Mario.
And the thing is, like, knowing intelligent systems, they're going to do some new interesting things. They're doing a lot of extra papery, gimmicky 3D things, which is fine.
Yeah, all the sticker, the actual sticker mechanics seem pretty cool.
Yeah. I love that. It's like, those are your equips, your stickers. Nintendo does great stuff like that. It's like, whatever, you don't need equipment. We're just going to give you a sticker book.
Yeah.
Sticker book.
You'll like it.
You will.
So if you're a fan of stickers, check out the new Paper Mario.
If you're a fan, then there's a fan in that game.
There's a fan sticker, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, it's a fan... Isn't it a fan that turns into a sticker, or is it already a sticker?
It's a fan that turns into a sticker, and then when you use the sticker, it turns into a fan, but only temporarily.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to being a sticker, though I think it's still a sticker while it's also a fan. I don't... It's confusing. It's evil physics. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But so besides that, which is just kind of, yes, I also want that game.
Yeah.
XCOM: Enemy Unknown is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And what makes me the most excited about it is when people talk about how accessible it's going to be. Not that it's dumbed down or anything, but that I'm going to know what the heck I'm doing.
I mean, I think if Firaxis is good at anything, it's somehow making their kind of complex PC games into accessible console versions.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
they do with Civ.
Right.
But I mean, just
this
in general.
This game is also going to be on PC, but what I was also going to say is that apparently they're making the console version is going to be as good, which sounds magnificent to me, because as much as I love PC games, I like the curated experience of a console game. I like putting it in and it just runs. The, you know, seamless controller integration kind of thing that you don't have to worry about any of that setup or any of the, you know, oh, well, your video card's not quite like this.
I mean, if you're serious about XCOM, you'll most likely buy this on PC. But if, you know.
Maybe.
Like, yeah. Well, probably.
Yeah. I mean, if you liked the original and still, like, want that, then, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've
but
never
seen I'm interested in the new one because I'm interested to see how it plays on consoles. And I mean.
Yeah.
I, of course, it doesn't help that my PC is kind of crap, so I don't know how well it would run, but aside from that, even if I did have a working PC, I'd still really want to check out the console version just to see if they can actually make that work, and based on everything we've heard, it seems like they are, so.
Yeah. The only thing I worry about with that is always when they release console and PC versions, the PC versions get all the cool free stuff later.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll see where I land on that, but either way, that game is looking good.
get the PC version for the possible free stuff and get the console version for the experience you would want the most.
Get the console version now, get the free version, get the PC version for like $3 in Steam in 6 months?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I've done that with games before.
I believe it.
Dungeon.
All right, so we'll move on to Chris.
Well,
the Nintendo guy.
Since I very recently became a 3DS owner,
yes,
I am actively now looking forward to Virtue's Last Reward.
Ah, yeah,
this fall, which is the sequel to 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors, which is a
zero
loved
game.
Yes, they branded them now.
Oh, yeah.
Too late. Branded the first time, so
you can't really brand the first one if it just dies, then there's no point to it. But this did well enough that they warranted a sequel, and now it is a brand. So hopefully we'll get more after
Is this? I think you're the best since you really like 999 so much. Is this also coming out for the Vita? And I own a Vita, and I was interested in 999, but I haven't been able to play it because I don't have a DS. So do you know if this is if this is a direct follow up? Will I need to play the first game, or will?
I'm pretty sure you'd be able to get by without. I understand, a couple of the characters do come back, and where the Zero Escape is now the brand, it probably will reference things that happened in the game, but I don't think it'd be necessary for actual play.
Because I think they're all
kind of separate, but they make references for fan service.
Kind of just like say the same themes, the same kind of gameplay, just different characters and story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, yep. Well, that sounds really cool.
And everything else I'm interested in is not guaranteed to be here this year. So, other than as far as video games are concerned, I'm still actively looking forward to the Android Netrunner a living card game release from Fantasy Flight sometime next month.
Game
that sold out within 10 minutes of opening the doors to the public at Gen Con.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think I know a guy.
And then sold out again 40 minutes later on Saturday.
Yeah.
Chris, are you getting a Wii U at launch?
Or are you going to wait? I'll
try. Okay.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like the Wii was when it launched, I was like the sixth person too far in line that day.
I got there at our local Target at 5 a.m.
I will never want a game that's bad enough to be there at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I did.
There will be more.
I did. But I love getting new systems at launch, so.
Yeah.
It's just something exciting about it.
And atmosphere is pretty electric.
Yeah, just have one game to play, which will probably be Rayman, then that's all I need.
I've been pretty good about it as far as, especially Nintendo consoles. I know I bought a Game Boy at launch, I bought a Super Nintendo at launch, I bought Game Boy Advance at launch.
The 3DS was like the only one for you, right?
The 3DS was a delay, and N64 was a delay because that again was supply issues.
Yeah.
The Wii was like a week delay for supply issues. But yeah, the 3DS is the only one I've ever actually said, no, I'll wait.
I don't blame you.
And since they gave me one that fits in my hands today, I am now the proud owner of a 3DS XL.
Hooray!
And 2.5 pinball support. Because there's still nothing I want for it right now. I thought about Fiat Rhythm, but decided against it since my experience with that franchise stops halfway through. So most of I kind of lose it a little bit.
What about Ghost Recon Shadow Wars? Huh?
Yeah. No.
I'm doing Graham's job for him.
I'm whimpering over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I for my retail release, I bought the Pinball Hall of Fame William Collection.
Okay. Highly rated Game of the Year nominee.
Right, it was a stripped down version of the Wii title, which I very nearly made my game of the year that year, as you might have noticed if you read my favorite game piece that went up on Sunday.
Yep.
Yep, indeed. All right, Sean, your turn. Tell me what you're looking forward to the most.
My list is largely similar to Graham's, actually.
Talk about one we haven't talked about. How about that?
How about Pokemon White 2?
Sure.
I know nothing about it.
Yes, I would have mentioned that, but
except what? That I want it, and well, it's a secret direct sequel.
I think if you played a Pokemon game, you know a lot about it.
Probably. Especially if you played Black and White.
Yeah. I have purposely kept myself in the dark for all the news that people have been leaking about it, because I want to go into it without any of that nonsense in my head.
I will tell you one thing about it, just one thing ahead of time.
You catch Pokemon?
There are Pokemon in it, and you catch them.
Sold.
All right.
Yeah, that's all Sean needs.
I think what bothers me is that you start with the same starters.
Oh, they don't have new starters?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
For once, I want a game to, like, get rid of the fire, grass, water thing and just do any other triangle.
Like Psychic Dark Fire.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with Psychic Dark Fire, Psychic Dark Fight, is that one of them is completely immune to the other. That's a little.
It didn't used to be, though. Mm. When did they change that? I don't remember.
No, Dark was always completely immune to Psychic.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are other combinations they could do, which is, you know,
I mean,
do,
why don't
like,
just give you
fighting ice flight, just to be really weird.
I mean, with Conquest, they did the Here's Eevee thing, which I always thought would be a good setup.
Yeah.
But like,
who doesn't like Eevee?
Hmm?
Who doesn't like Eevee?
What?
Eevee's awesome.
Yeah. There are people who don't like Eevee. But what if you just start with like, here's a Ditto. Good luck.
Yes. I would take that.
Oh. Ow.
Here, here's a Magikarp. I don't know how this is going to work, but just try it.
I want a Pokemon game to do that. I want them to give you like one of the weirdest Pokemon to start with.
I've always done that thing where like, whenever I did a replay when I was younger, I'd always like get to the first time you could trade and trade away my starter for just whatever the heck I wanted to try starting with, but then you'd have all those trainer issues.
Your starting choices are Porygon, Mr. Mime, and Jinx. Go.
Porygon, but yeah.
Jinx.
Okay.
I
like ice types.
You like ice types.
I like ice. All right, so to also elaborate on the games that are not on Graham's list, I'm actually interested in Halo 4.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm surprised you didn't mention that. Halo 4 looks really cool.
It does.
Looks very Metroid Prime-y.
That's what everyone's saying.
I liked. Right? I'm okay with that.
That's okay in my book.
I didn't care for the shooting in Metroid Prime, but I liked the shooting in Halo. So take the non-shooting stuff from Metroid in, and I would love it.
Great. Cool. That's what this is. All
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Halo Prime.
Cool.
Yep. They made it a side-scrolling action game instead of a first-person shooter. They went reverse this time.
Yep. All right, Henry.
Yeah, Henry, you're...
All right. So the two games I was excited but got pushed to February 2013 was the new SimCity game and BioShock Infinite, so I won't mention that.
Yeah, BioShock Infinite would have been my choice if it was still coming.
Yeah,
SimCity would have been mine.
SimCity, I am so, so excited about, so I won't talk about that because it's 2013, but I'll say Borderlands 2 because I know that's coming out. I know it's coming out in about a month.
Yeah, just won gold recently.
What's that?
Just went gold recently, so
there were excellent. Yep. So I think it's September 20th, flurbs, something like that. 20 something.
I think it's the 19th of September.
19th. Okay, great. I really enjoyed the first Borderlands. I know a lot of people who did, and yet when playing it, I'm like, okay, there are a lot of areas to improve upon. The menu system is way too cumbersome. The levels are a little drab. Multiplayer could have been improved. And of course, for Borderlands 2, looking at all the information I've read, looks like that's exactly what they've done. They've taken Borderlands and improved a lot of different things. And, if it's anywhere close to being as good as Borderlands 1's with all these, and then with all these additions, I think it could be a lot of people's game of the year.
Oh yeah, I think it'll be really good. I think it'll be a game that people are still going to be playing well into 2013 too,
Keep
up with DLC and stuff.
I like the longevity. It does feel like a little bit MMO-ish, which adds to replay value, which is fine by me.
The thing about the first Borderlands is I liked it, like 3/4 of it, a lot.
Yeah.
Aside from the boss battles, which were terrible, I liked
pretty
much everything about like most of that game. And then at the end, once you start getting into the like getting really close to the vaults, and it basically just becomes a run down this long pathway and shoot all these enemies type of game.
Yeah, it sort of deviated a little bit. Yeah, the level design was a little inconsistent, and again, drab, except there was that one snow, like you mentioned, right before the vault. It's a bit snowy, but like, it's not very colorful. Like, I know it's going for post-apocalyptic, but it looks like in the second one, they've got a lot of different areas, which I think, you know, with the type of graphics they use, the sort of the cell shading, comic booky style graphics, which are awesome. That was such a good decision to go that way.
No, because the original kind of ugly.
I know it did, and I don't think the system would have been able to handle it very well, to be honest, with four players. So I think both at a technical level and an aesthetic level, I think it was a smart decision. With two coming up, I'm looking forward to seeing the different areas you can go in.
Same here. I can't wait for that. Yep. All right. So
cool. That's me. It.
Well, is that our podcast? Is that it?
It can be.
Okay. Well.
Cool. All right. How about you take us out then, Andrew?
Okay. So for Henry, Sean, Chris, and Graham, I'm Andrew. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.
Cool. All right, I gotta go fix my washing machine.
Cool. Sounds good. I gotta go play Last Story. See you guys later.
I'm gonna go visit the woods.
No, not the woods.